the OTB Podcast Network.
Right, coming up on a quarter to eight, Ronan O'Gara, good morning to you.
Hey Adrian, how are you?
How are you getting on?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, not too bad.
We were
sunny day here.
Sunny day. The weather is fantastic. It turns out like a bit of good weather is great to lift everybody's mood. Although your own mood must be flying high. We were chatting to you on this show 3 weeks ago and you had obviously Bordeaux, Gloucester and a potential quarter final ahead of you. 3 from 3. Have you managed to enjoy that last 3 weeks or how's it been?
No, it goes on. It goes on pretty quickly. We play Lyon tomorrow in a crucial game. So that's been moved, obviously. There's a lot of COVID cases back over here, so there's, I think there's 3 or 4 games cancelled tomorrow in the top 14, so we're in the clear and so are Lyon, so it's played tomorrow at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, so it's a big game because no doubt the last few weeks have been really enjoyable.
I was reading some of your piece in the Irish Examiner this morning about the how the week is stacked up and you're probably not getting as much time with the players, it seems, as you might like. Are you, even separate to that, over those 3 weeks, obsessing about those games as they and about the little gains that you can make? Or how have you found yourself over those? What have you learned about yourself as a coach over the last 3 weeks?
I haven't actually taken pause on that really yet in that regard, Adrian. I think the most important thing is probably what the team has learned, and I'm central to, I suppose, giving that message afterwards on a Monday. So it was good in the fact that we played with two English teams, obviously, but complete different, styles of playing, and we were able to play differently, but also play quite effectively. So, you're always trying to, build your playbook and build your appreciation of what is needed in a certain moment. But I think still keep coming back to attitude and the desire of players. And once you kind of see that in them, I think that overpowers the strategy side of things.
Because you're still ultimately going to be slightly unsure as to what that attitude looks like when the chips are down.
I think when things are going well, you have to acknowledge it too, and they're going well now because they're going to hit rocky periods, and we've had them in the last 24 months or 20 months, and sometimes it's very hard to get momentum, but we have momentum now, so the key is to try and keep it for as long as we can. There's a potential of 9 or 10 games left in our season, so it's not unrealistic to think you can keep it for that length of time. So that's the plan.
Mm. It was interesting looking at the reaction after the Gloucester game, after you gave the interview on BT, where the Irish audience was like, this guy, we know this guy. We've seen and heard a good bit of this guy. We know what he's about. Whereas the English audience were like, this guy. This guy used to play. Wow, this guy can
this
speak
boy,
as well.
Yeah, you just kick it to the corner.
Were you taken aback? There was like it was a massive reaction to that interview you did after the last game.
Yeah, it was. I put it down to I think the Irish and the English public are starved of top 14 rugby. As I said numerous times, we always just get a highlights package on a Sunday or a Thursday on Sky Sports, and it was, I think, no one enjoys watching, 6 or 7 average top 14 games in its entirety. But I think when you kind of clip it into a 30-minute package, it makes for great viewing because there are some fantastic players playing in France and there's big names playing in France, but there's also some serious skill there. But, our minds aren't, aligned to relegation, and it's only when you live a relegation and the kind of a championship with relegation in it, there is no denying that your thinking is altered, and the fact that under any circumstances you don't want to be involved in that battle later. And so results do become important, very important obviously, but then the key is, as a coaching staff, that you don't let it eat away into dictating how you play, and because otherwise you just play very, I would say, negatively. So that's the challenge for a lot of coaches over here.
Mm. What was the, before the logical, critical thinking part of your brain kicked off when the draw was made, what was your first thought?
Well, the first thought was kind of hopefully you'll be your first or third out of the drum, you know, if that's what you're looking for. And obviously it's home advantage with a big asterisk, but it just, it makes it easier, obviously, than, I mean, the thought of going to the RDS is a lot more difficult than the thought of receiving, even without the public. So at home, yeah, was what, where you wanted to be. And yeah, when it was Leinster, it was like, oh, okay. That's, you know what I mean? That's the, where we are now. It's us or them going to a final. So how exciting is that?
Yeah, a few texts from home, I presume. Like, if Munster can't do it, O'Gara beating them is the next best option.
No, I think I'm gone too long for that. I think people are over that. I think it's a different stage of everyone's life now.
Mm. Ronan, when it comes to playing an opponent that I guess you know so well, you've got such a history against Leinster, you're watching these guys play a lot. When you're then planning for them as an actual opponent coming up in a few weeks' time, do you sort of have to park the knowledge you've already built up about them and start afresh with your prep?
That's a great question, and good morning, Owen. But I don't know them that well. Obviously, I knew them as a player, but that's so long ago, and everything has moved on, and that may be an error to presume you know them, because I haven't, and I have obviously watched a few of their games, but I wouldn't say I've studied a lot of their games. So it'll be like what you did for a quarter final, or what you did for a 1/8 of a final, and the fact that you have to build as much information as you can about them. But that's them, you know. My focus all season has been on us, and I feel that with the challenges involved in that, on there's so much work in that, and you may get a few breakthroughs by studying them, but we know how consistently good Leinster are. So like, the reality is you can spend an awful lot of time coming up with one power play that you may dissect them with, but also how do we get speed into our game, or how do we get us passing with accuracy? That has to remain a fundamental or a rock of our performance for every time we take to the training pitch, because training after the Sale game wasn't good. And that's not good. That means that we haven't adjusted our mindset about, okay, that's last week, it's over, we got to move on to the next challenge. So in that regard, the Leon game becomes a tricky game, because they're fighting for their lives. But there will be, obviously, the week into the Leinster game will be exciting in one regard, but it'll also be hugely competitive in another regard. But I don't have 3 weeks to prep Leinster.
Mm. When you say training after the Sale game wasn't good, what are you looking at? What are the indicators that show you?
To your eye, your instinct in terms of just skills errors, you know, and concentration levels, giddiness, you know. So you just need to, we get limited time on the pitch, so you have to make that count, you know what I mean? Reviewing the video and afterwards saying, well, I should have done this and that, but it's kind of missed the moment there. You've missed the opportunity to get better. You've missed the opportunity to grow. You've missed the opportunity to add a layer into your performance. So that's something that as a player, those moments are precious, because you think 10 years is a long time playing, but it goes like that, you know. It's over before you sometimes realize it, and I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but you've got to kind of make the most of it.
I presume that giddiness as a player is an amazing feeling though at the same time, so you know exactly what they're going through on a high at the same time while trying to bring them back down to a more reasoned level.
Yeah, you're right, it's exactly that's the other key point on, is that it's uncharted territory and it's new ground, and well done to them, you know. And you want that, because that's why you're in sport, the same as anything, that you want to be doing something that other teams in the club haven't done. But when you're there, there's no point, you mean, turning up. You've got to turn up with ambition.
Is that like when you talk about that giddiness runner, the little bits of skills or whatever, like is it a couple of players that sort of you can see spread across the group, or how does it manifest itself?
Yeah, it is, but it's the same in everything though. That's why the sport game, you know what I mean, team game is so fascinating, because you're dependent on everyone. And as we know from a few examples in Ireland's Six Nations campaign, you know what I mean, one or two poor decisions or poor errors, the whole team is affected. So you kind of really need your base level as high as you can among all the players, and that's something that's challenging, but it's not necessarily something to stress too negatively about it. As you said, if the intention is there, everything is possible.
Did you watch the Leinster Exeter game? What you make of it?
No, I didn't. I haven't watched it yet. No. Obviously, I heard it was 14-0, and I said, that's a surprising start to the game. I heard that the scoreline at the end, so that is some performance, you know, 14-0 away from home, and the mental capacity to steady yourself, regroup, lose Johnny Sexton and bring on Ross Byrne. That's an impressive squad effort.
Like, it sends out an unbelievable message to other teams as well, doesn't it? I mean, no more than yourselves, in terms of being like, they're never out of the game almost.
Yeah, it is, but that's you're talking about one of the best teams in the history of the Champions Cup, Adrian. That's where Leinster have been since 2009, you know, so that's what great teams do, and they are a great side, and there's very few teams that are great sides, so that's what you expect them to do, and they dug in for each other and they got that result. But that makes it probably more exciting from a challenger's point of view.
How much is it if at all, about the trying to obviously outfox, like you mentioned, the quality of the Leinster team obviously over the last number of years and everything they've won and the plaudits that the coaching ticket have got. How much for of the whole thing for you is it about trying to outfox Leo Cullen, Stuart Lancaster? And I know you've said obviously you focus on your own team and your own strategies and stuff like that, but how much is it about trying to outfox? Is it about coming up with new stuff to take them on? Is it about more of the same, or what are you thinking? I know it's a few weeks out and you haven't got into it in too depth yet, but what are you thinking in that front?
Well, obviously you're trying to set yourself up to succeed, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be thinking about Stuart or Leo, who have huge respect for and admiration for what they've done there. We're only starting off on our journey in this club, but it is semi-final stage. It's a game that you need to be really sure of your plan, but being really sure your plan is good in training runs, but can you do it when you've Leinster defending you, you know? So it's the game is full of mini battles everywhere, and the Leinster think tank will have seen plenty of opportunities to exploit us, and our coaching group will have a look to see where we can have a go off Leinster. But that's the beauty of sport, you know. I think it never really comes down to one moment of kind of outfoxing the opposition coaches. There's 80 minutes there where you got to try and put the Leinster team or vice versa, them under as much pressure as you possibly can, and you're hoping, you know what I mean, if we're in the game, that after 70 odd minutes they crack. But that's a general plan.
Is it helpful to think about what it might look like winning the entire thing at this point, or is that just not of any
benefit? No, it's very, very, very important to dream, but you have to really take yourself back to the moment, and then when you get closer to the game, you're thinking about your next play. You're going to get distracted and giddy by imagining yourself running around a stadium with a cup. That's not what happens. You got to stay in the now and stay focused.
Yeah. we'd hopefully catch up with you again before that game, a few weeks away yet, and obviously, as you said, important stuff to be dealt with domestically as well. In the meantime, the big news obviously during the week that Simon Szebo is going back to Munster, and you've written a bit about it in the Examiner this morning. I was going to ask you would you pick Simon Szebo or Hugo Keenan at 15 if you were picking a team tomorrow for Ireland, and both were
picking
available.
A team tomorrow, you pick Hugo Keenan because he's in form, he's deserves exactly what he's got. He's been one of Ireland's best players for me, and there's no debate on it. The minute what happens now is the fact that Simon re-enters the calculations to play for Ireland. He has to perform well for Munster. If he performs well for Munster, he gets into the Irish training camp. If he performs well in training, he may get a shot at it. But the incumbent is rightly Hugo Keenan. Performed excellently, but it's all of a sudden you have a player with huge X factor who has the capacity to play big on the big occasion, and that is only an advantage for Irish rugby.
Is Simon Szebo as fun to play with as he is to watch?
Yes, everything about him is great. Fantastic company, fantastic, I suppose, philosophy on life, fantastic. Guy to have in your camp, very positive, huge energy, and adds an awful lot to an environment.
Does it look like a move that he's making to see out his career, Ronan, are you thinking, or is this a...
No, I don't think so. I think, top 14 in the opportunities in France, unless your GIF are becoming narrower and narrower, and I'd say they signed Buffelli, Racing did. So that was probably something that, you know what I mean, was a call that Simon said, okay, well, they look like they're putting their eggs in his basket. So for me, it's time to make a move. But he's only 31.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's amazing because of... like he has genetically he has an awful lot of strong points. He just needs to knuckle down to training like he's well capable of doing, and he is doing, and he's going to be a serious asset to Munster in Ireland.
One other thing we wanted to ask about just before we let you off, Paul O'Connell was talking during the week about who his Lions captain might be, and it was an interesting and very, it must have been a very honest shout from him given his position with the Irish team, and he was talking about Owen Farrell. I don't know if you'd seen that, but he was...
No, I haven't seen
Yeah, he, the phrase that he used was, he's almost coaching, was the thing that he was using as the main reason to think that this guy would be the Lions captain. You didn't do a huge amount of captaincy, is that fair enough to say over your career, which is almost surprising in some ways given what we've seen you to go on to do as a coach?
But sure, I played most of my career with Paul O'Connell, so I didn't do most captaincy, you know, but we in, I don't know, was it 06 or 08, Paulie missed the 6 pool games and we won 6 out of 6 without him, and that was another example in sport, if the show goes on, no matter how good you are, you know what I mean, the team is always first, and the team didn't miss Paul on that occasion, but it also was an opportunity for me to do a bit of captaincy. But it's something that, you know what I mean, I think the real captaincy, I think, yeah, they stand out, the real captains, but what's also nearly as important, Adrian, is your leadership group. You know, that is because if you have all your eggs in one basket on the captain, and the captain being the leader, but like if he, for example, has a commotion, what's the word for a HIA within the first 8 minutes?
We're getting French lessons here as well as a bit of rugby inside. It's great.
No, sorry. It's a bit early, sorry. But HIA, so he's gone after 10 minutes, then you know what I mean? You have to have plan A, B and C. So you need a number of leaders in their pitch. But Paul was obviously exceptional. And before that, it was Keith Wood, and it was Mick Galway, it was Anthony Foley. So these guys were very, very, very special captains.
Ronan, just one last one for me. Also in your Irish Examiner column this morning. The very first paragraph, you say you shuffled your way through a long run. What is the Ronan O'Gara running routine, and how good is it for your head?
It's very, very important for the head. It's amazing, actually. I've never... The thought of going for a run is horrendous, but 1 hour after finishing, it's a different Raj, you know. It's a different person. You just feel an awful lot better. You feel clearer in your thinking. You feel sharper. And it's something that I've enjoyed since the start of the year, even though it's a particularly boring sport. But waddling, I recommend it to anyone. Just exercise. It's needed.
Are you a podcast man when you're out running, or are you thinking?
No, absolutely not allowed.
Right.
No.
Why?
Me in my own world, Adrian, because right. I can kind of do the subs or the, you know what I mean, the who you want to finish the game with. Nowadays, when you have such versatility probably in your back line, you can kind of do all kinds of combinations. So I literally go into that kind of world of how would we look like with him at 10 or him at 12 or him at 13 or him at 15. So I just do a bit of that.
What's your 5K time?
I actually bought a new watch the other day. Actually, it was good. But my kids laugh at me. I'm not really a Suunto. I'm not really. It's a Norwegian brand. Is it a Finnish brand for trek running?
Well, so I thought that was another French expression, Ronan. So that'll tell
that's
you.
That's way over my head. I know, I waddle away around, 6 minutes a kilometre on, you know?
But we're both nodding as if we've any sort of understanding as to whether that's good or bad. We'll assume it's
very light, very, very light pace. It's basically just turning over, you know?
Yeah, well, look, when you hit middle age, running, you gotta look after the body, you know? That's the important thing, as I'm aware of. Well done over the last few weeks. Good to catch up with
you. You too. Thank you, guys.
Thanks
see
a
you.
Lot.
Chat to you next week. See you.
Thanks a lot. Ronan O'Gara on the line there from France, and pretty interesting time, obviously, for him. We're going to catch up with the Junior Minister for Sport after these.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.